Don't Give Up Radio Show with Jackie Wayans. Inspiration through word and song for you.
With a broken heart, and you feel that there's no real healing inside. Oh no, but this I know, it's more than a feeling. Jesus said it in his word, you cannot feel it, just believe it. He'll make everything, he'll make it all.
Yeah. He will make it all right. Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful God that we serve. Don't Give Up Radio. I'm your host, Jackie Wayans. Glad to have you with us again another Friday. And, you know, I chose that song that's going to be sitting with us for the next couple of weeks until I'm advised otherwise. And, you know, I like that song so much. It's by B. Renee. And what's so wonderful about it is it encourages you that through the twists and the turns of life, which are going to happen, you can make it through. You can get to the other side if you just don't let go of God's non-changing hand, his never-changing hand. And if you haven't held his hand as of yet, it is my heart desire that by the end of the show you would very much desire to get to know him and know him as your personal Lord and Savior. Tonight, we are fortunate enough to have with us top model, one of the original top models. I'm talking about the 80s right there with Cheryl Teagues and Beverly Johnson. We've got Wanaki here with us, Wanaki Pugh, and she is now photographer, artist, musician, minister. And what I love about Wanaki and what you will love when you hear her is her genuine love and desire for the Lord. And she's self-taught in many of the gifts and talents that she's been given, and she's learned how to change direction and move with the flow of things, because life does change, and we want to be able to encourage you that if you started on one path and it looks like it's not working out, that you can hear God's voice very clearly and know what's the next step to take. He's not going to leave you or forsake you. You can trust in him to help you make the right decisions. But I'm not going to say all that to you. Wanaki is. Welcome. I'm so glad to have you on the show.
Thank you, Jackie. I love the name of your show, Don't Give Up Radio. I love it.
Oh, great. Well, I don't think it came from me, so therefore I am not going to take the credit, but I'm glad you like it and may it resonate with people because, you know, we all get those moments in our lives when we just want to throw in the towel and we feel like we've done all that we can and it's not
right.
Working. It doesn't look like it's going in the direction that we'd like it to go. And we want to give up, but we could be
inches away
from what God has already spoken in our lives. So we have to, you know, hang in there. And I'm sure you have had many moments like that, and hopefully we can get to some of them tonight. But I want to start off with how we all know you and then, you know, work from there. I'm like every other young teenage girl, you know, growing up here in the city, we wanted to be on the cover of those magazines or at least in those magazines. And I did my whole portfolio stint and, you know, walking the pavement and going on calls and getting
so
the
results.
You did
all that too, huh?
Yeah, I did
all
that too. So it's funny.
Bless your heart.
I was blessed to be only 5'7" and a half. I never reached that 5'8". And
you know that's my exact height. That is my exact height, 5'7" and a half.
Get out of here.
No, I'm serious. I was a shorty.
No, this tells you, well, first of all, looking at you, I would never have thought that. And it also tells you, it shows me how God has a plan for each and every one of us, because one day I went into Ford Model Management, and the receptionist looked at me, and she said, how tall are you? And I said, well, I'm 5'7 and a half. And she says, well, you have to be 5'8". And I go, but Sherry Belafonte. And she stops me, and she goes, you're no Sherry Belafonte.
Oh, no, that's what she said. You know, they can sometimes not have the most charm, that's for sure. But, but you see, I invested my prayer I prayed for 2 years. I mean, the Lord gave me permission to go to New York, but I had to pray. I had to prepare. I had to pray in the Spirit. I had to, you know, he had to be able to move things around that I wouldn't know about, couldn't know about. And so I allowed him to do that for 2 years so that when I did come to New York, I knew I was supposed to be there, told me to go home. You know, I could just walk away from that and say, oh, well, that was not the place I was supposed to go to then. And so I went to Ford, and they accepted me right away. But, you know, it took a lot of work. It took a lot of, you know, you know how it is, that you have to take your photographs, you have to work hard, you have to sort of hone your look and learn your look and learn how to maximize yourself. And then by that time, you'll be ready to go. And so it's not, it looks like it's this, oh, she went to New York and she just, oh, she just hit. No, I didn't hit. I prayed for 2 years.
Well, let's talk about that a little bit. So you are already, you know, studying interior design, fashion design?
I took fashion design in college, but I never pursued it. And then when I got out of school, I became an illustrator, a fashion illustrator. At the remember when they used to do drawings rather than photographs for ads in paper? That was what I used to do. And and then it sort of morphed into modeling in Detroit. But, you know, that's not where the market is. The market is in New York. So I worked there for a while and, you know, did the best I could do and had a nice portfolio. And just before I went to New York, my portfolio was stolen.
Wow.
And I was like, no, weapon formed against me shall prosper. As a matter of fact, the portfolio that you took, I'm going to replace it with one 7 times more powerful. I'm going to have magazine covers. I sat in my car with my missing portfolio, and I spoke the word of God. And what I said was going to happen, happened.
Wow. You know, so this is amazing. So tell me, though, how did you, and I know you had a very strong mom figure, which is always important. How did you deal with the concept, especially back then? It was very much thought in the church that you couldn't be a Christian and be in the modeling industry. So how did you know for sure that this was something for you?
Well, because you spend your time with God knows you. You know him, not ideally the way you should know him years from that time, but you know him by faith. You, by faith, believe him and believe what he says. It's the same thing as, you know, when you have a conversation between five people and two people say it happened this way, and you know you were there and it didn't happen that way at all. As long as God is in the room, you really don't have to worry about other people's concepts. You are in the room with him. He sees everything that people don't see. So if you're going to worry about God in the room. Don't worry about people.
Perfect. Absolutely perfect. Sometimes hard to do when you're very young. And
you have to practice.
You definitely do. How old were you when you were coming to New York to become a model, to take that step?
I was so old, they told me that I couldn't tell anybody my age. I was 25 at the time. Now, 25 was the age where careers were ending, not beginning.
People
So they told me, you know, you have to be 5'8", so I just took 5'7½" and rounded it off. And then they said, you know, you can't tell anybody how tall you are. Well, you know, as you think, so is your height. So if you think you're tall and you think you can hang with everybody, then it seems like you can.
All right. Wonderful.
You know, I never made an issue of my height, and so nobody else ever said anything.
Well, and God opened the doors for you, because I really never knew. This is a revelation right now that you're telling me.
Mm-hmm.
I thought for sure you were like 5'10", or, you know, right up there with
your
mom.
No, I'm 40. Yeah, I'd be the one to have to stand on the phone book.
insider trade secrets. So I wanted you to share with us that moment when you knew for sure from God. I heard you share this a while back on TBN, but I think it's so powerful to explain how God will speak with young
believers you.
And answer
you. Yeah, I mean, when you're a babe. I think I was less than a year in Christ, but I was really determined to learn this stuff. I'd read the Bible. I wouldn't understand what it meant. But by faith, I knew that one thing happened to me, and it was not fake. It was the infilling of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. That happened to me for real, because I was determined not to fake anything. I mean, people can fake you out all day long, but if you fake yourself out, then you have no hope. So I was determined to be genuine about this, and if this really was real, then it was going to happen to me, and I was not going to fake it. So when it did happen to me, I determined from that point, right there from that point, that either this whole Bible is true or none of it's true. Now, this is just a book And all of a sudden, this book actually came to life in me. I mean, something actually happened from the book. So I determined from that point on that I was going to believe everything Yeshua said, everything.
Amen.
And he says some strange things sometimes, I have to tell you. When he's giving you revelation knowledge, he will tell you some things that, frankly, you've never heard before. But the good news about him is
how did he tell you you were going to be, that you should go to New York and pursue modeling?
Well, I said, you know, should I go? Should I stay? Can I go? I mean, you know, everybody had me so afraid. One of my friends said, oh, in New York, you know, you can't take the subways. It's dangerous. And you go to the bookings and they'll eat you for lunch. Well, I didn't want to be a happy meal, for God's sake. So I prayed because they had me scared to death. Well, I said, look, should I go? I'm crying by this time. I'm weeping. You know, should I go? Should I stay? What should I do? Should I go? Should I stay? Can't you just tell me if I should go or stay? And 20 minutes later, somebody knocked on my door, my friend that lived across the street there. And he said, are you going somewhere? And I said, well, what do you mean? He said, are you moving? Are you going away? Because I was over across the street in prayer, and the Lord told me to come over here and tell you to go. Does that mean anything to you?
I love it.
Yeah, so I went.
I love it.
You think you can't hear him. We all think we can't hear him, but we all actually hear him so accurately that it's frightening. If you really take the time, and I learned this one time when the Lord was trying to teach me to write things down the way you hear them. In your spirit, write things down exactly the way you hear them. And I had to practice and practice. This took me the longest time to actually write it down exactly the way I heard it. And if I heard it end in a sentence, don't end in an exclamation point. And I would practice and write and write and write, and I would say, wait, that's not the way I heard it. I heard it this way. That word wasn't in there. This word was. And then I realized, my God, we really can hear him. Because I can tell you exactly what he says, exactly the words, intonation of his voice, you know, in the spirit I'm talking about.
Right.
And if you practice writing down what he says, you will realize once you start to practice that you really do hear him, and you hear him accurately.
I think that's a wonderful thing for anyone listening who's not doing that to start doing. It's something that I'm sure you have to cultivate in yourself to keep track of, but it sounds excellent, because a lot of times we pray and we forget what we've asked for, and the key to what you're doing is you're taking the time to listen and focus on what you're hearing from him. You know, we're going to come back and talk. We're going to come back after this song and talk a little bit more about the listening, because I think that is a key point to just the growth that and the direction in our lives from the Lord. Right after this.
Absolutely.
my soul from sin and shame. Jesus is the name above all names, and I'm so happy just to be serving you. I'm always blessed 'cause I'm walking in your truth. You're so mighty, full of glory, and I bow down to you simply because you do what you do. Yeah,
that's just what you do.
Give me faith to move the mountain,
so people and true.
Let me drink from living fountains.
Everything mercies are new.
Lord, I long to worship you.
That's just what I do.
Listen, now I'm so grateful for your guiding light.
All right. And I'm so thankful
for the blood of Jesus Christ. You're so
faithful
and so holy, got none compared to you. I worship you because of all the things you do.
That's just what you do.
Savior, you're so sweet to me.
So faithful and true.
Oh, so faithful.
Everything mercies are new.
You specialize in impossibilities. Yeah,
that's just what you do, Lord. That's just
what he does. The Lord is so faithful and so wonderful, and all we have to do is open our ears and our hearts, and he's faithful to reveal himself to us. You are listening to Don't Give Up Radio Show. I'm your host, Jackie Wayans, and we are here with Wanaki, and she is sharing with us how the Lord led her into modeling, into New York City, and how she was able to listen, attune her ears to hearing his voice, not only then, but many, many, many more times in life and life decisions. And, you know, I wanted to bring up the point that we all know that modeling is something that's not forever. Things change. The industry changes. New faces come and go. How did you know from your listening, how did that inform you so that you knew when to make the changes and the adaptations that you needed to make?
You know, when I went into business right at the tail end of modeling, I went into I had a hair products company, and I had a post office box down in Bowling Green Station, and I used to ride my bicycle from Brooklyn to Bowling Green. It was about 20 miles to get my mail. It's the building where the big bull is down on Wall Street. It's right in front. The bull's right in front of the mailbox. And one block away was the World Trade Center. Well, one day when I was up on 8th Avenue, and you know how noisy Manhattan is, but even in the midst of the noise, I heard him clearly tell me that he wanted me to leave Manhattan because there was going to be something unprecedented, this is how he put it, happen at the base down in Battery Park. And he said, you don't have anything to compare it to, just leave. And okay, I left, and the World Trade Center thing happened. Now, remember, I used to ride my bike down there to get my mail. So he literally took me out of harm's way and didn't he didn't give me the details. He just gave me the overall picture and said to leave, and he literally took me out of harm's way. The first time that World Trade Center was bombed, I was the car behind the first ambulance. I mean, I used to go in that route every day. And I was the first fire truck I was behind. It was speeding in, and I was speeding into work. So he took me out. So you're literally in the midst of Manhattan can hear his voice. We have within us, and he put it in us, voice recognition. I like to say it that way.
Yeah.
If I asked you today, if I said to you, okay, Jackie, tell me what bad thoughts came to you today. Well, you know, I felt insecure. You know, I felt like I was failing. I felt like you can hear the devil. Guess what? You can hear God.
Hi.
You can tell me every bad thought you had today. You can tell me every insecure thought that you had, everything that you knew you shouldn't have been thinking and you did. You can tell me those thoughts. Well, if you pay attention to God the way you pay attention to the devil, see, we're used to the devil because he talks more than God does. God talks when you ask questions. He expects you to ask questions. He expects you to ask your own questions. He doesn't expect me to ask the question for you. And the more you ask questions, which I'm a big question asker, the more you get the answers. And that's why if you want to know him really, 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 really well, just ask him 1,000,000,000 questions like I do.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. So now I mentioned at the top of the show, photography, artist, you know, you're in the ministry. And each one of these things evolved as the Lord was shifting. And sometimes we get sidetracked because we had this one passion, this one desire, and it dries up. Kind of like, you know, being at the well, Elijah at the well, and it dries up, and we just stay there hoping that water will return instead of following
God. Yeah, or sometimes there's never any water in the well. It was never a well in the first place, but you wanted it to be a well so bad that you just stayed there until you just hoped it would turn into a well. I know somebody like that. I know somebody who thinks that they have exceptional talent as a musician, and actually they have no talent as a musician. And see, when you get so headstrong on what you want to be your niche, you can actually miss your whole world just waiting for that one thing that you're not facing up to. Now, obviously this person did not pray about music. You see?
Okay.
You have to pray about it. You know, you can't look in the mirror and know what you look like, because you look at yourself every single day. You have to have somebody outside of yourself and outside of, you know, the human opinion tell you, yes, you can model. No, you can't model. Yes, you can play music. No, you can't. You know, sometimes if you have a desire and a passion for things, that means that it's yours and you need to explore it. As a matter of fact, you better explore it, because if you don't and your majesty asks you to do something, like I told you the other day, play a song for us, Key. If the Lord says to me, Key, play a song for us. If I am created in his image and in his likeness, and when you read in the Psalms, he loves music. He loves loud singing and loud playing with skillful instruments. He's a musical man. He's also a horseman. People don't know that. He's a horseman. That's another story altogether. But if he tells you to play, are you going to say, I don't know how to play or I can't play? When you know that you're created in his image and in his likeness, you have got to explore your gifts. Now, he won't tell you to do something outside of your range of passion, outside of your range of interest and desire. But if you have passions, interests, and desires, you need to explore them, because if he asks you to paint a painting, or if he asks you to design a set, or if he asks you to, you know, make some drapery, or whatever it is he asks you to do, you got to be willing to do it.
You got to be willing
to
do it.
And so that's what your life is. Your life is a series of, let me dig down in here and see what's in here. Because you are a big bag of gifts. You just don't know it yet. But see, nobody else can open the bag except you. So the deeper into the bag you dig, the more surprised you're going to be. Because you're made in his image and in his likeness, and his potential and his capabilities are limitless. We know that. Well, then what does that make yours?
Exactly. I love the way you're putting this, and it reminds me of a time when, the kids and I, you know, we were on Medicaid and certain social services for a season, and I remember sitting in an office one day feeling so downtrodden and like, how did I get here, and I'm never going to reach my goal, and, you know, I heard the Lord clearly. There was a woman there who kept becoming very irate with the people who were working there. And the officer that was attending to me said to me, she's illiterate. She's not able to read the application. But instead of asking for help, she's acting this way because she doesn't want us to know that she cannot read. And it devastated me. And I sat there, and the Lord said to me, Jackie, you have a mind. And I've given you gifts, and I've given you talent. There's no reason why you have to stay in this situation. I've given you everything you need. to turn it around. You just have to step out and do it. And it takes work on our part, but he's there to open those doors and to guide our footsteps. And that was just a revelatory moment for me as I was trying to feel so downtrodden on myself to realize, hey, you can read. You have thoughts and ideas that, you know, this things inside of you that you can do, you can muster. And I want those who are listening to understand that no matter where you are, if you belong to the Lord, he has planted those things inside of you. And I think you've mentioned this as well. Every creation of him has the ability to move and to create on this planet because he's the creator. But how much more of a blessing there is for those who have come to say, yes, Lord, like in Romans 10, 9 and 10, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, you shall be saved. And once you're in that relationship, it should even expand exponentially from there.
Yeah. Now, if nothing gets easier, and thank God when I first got born again, the man who was instructing us, you know, right in the beginning, was instructing us that this is warfare. This is, you know, Satan will come immediately to steal that good news that was sown in your heart. And so he kind of prepared us in a fighting way to enter into Christianity. And it wasn't, I always waited, when is it going to be easy? Well, you know, there is a point. Everybody is scheduled. Jesus had a point where he was scheduled for his glory. John chapter 17, my favorite chapter in the whole Bible, because he's talking to us about us and about us being with him and seeing him and his arms around us. And this is his excitement. That's how he faced the cross. And then he went to the cross after that prayer. So his excitement for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. He saw what was on the other side of that. There's a time frame on the other side of where we're at now that we strive for. We don't sit and settle and, you know, commiserate where we are, because I'm telling you, everybody's life goes upside down. Everybody's life goes backwards. Everybody goes from top to bottom and bottom to top. I mean, you know, it's a roller coaster. But Jesus never changes. His love never changes. His ear never stops listening. His heart never stops reaching out to you. So it doesn't matter where you are. It matters where you're going, you know. And you're going to perfection. You're going into his arms. You're going into his household. You're going into his family. His name is on your forehead. You have a whole lot more than you can see visually going on for
right.
you.
And you've got to believe that and override all the emotions and all the things that you can see that are telling you the opposite of that.
Yeah.
And hold on.
And
you can.
It's okay to have those emotions. It's okay to feel that way. But you got to get back to the invisible truth and not the visible, you know, circumstance. And it's powerful and it'll carry you through, because he taught me to just every minute of every day you have got to find the good. If this earth is full of God's goodness, then it's in my day. It has to be. And he taught me how to just take a second and look to your left. Take a minute and look to your right and see the glory of God in this earth, in your day. And, you know, I like to capture it with my cell phone because that's the way I do it. And today was off the charts. Another one. Another day off the chart. It's like every day gets better than the last. And none of my circumstances has changed. It's just that I've learned to look around me and appreciate how beautiful everything is and how good God is and how wonderful life is despite where I'm at today.
On that note, I'm going to play another song called You Are Jesus, and it's just going to just punctuate everything you just said, and we'll come back and talk more about relationships.
Cool.
sweeter than Calvary. There is no joy that can compare to your truth, and there is no peace softer than trusting in you.
Wanaki that comes forth in her photos and her paintings and her videos is just a lightness and a happiness that exudes from you. And after talking with you, it's so real. You're so in love with the Lord. And I just want to talk to you a little bit about relationships as men and women in this culture. We're constantly looking for relationship, looking for companionship. And there's nothing wrong with that, but sometimes it becomes an obsessive pattern. You know, it's like every room you walk into, you're wondering, is he going to be here? Is my husband here? Is my wife here? You know?
Yeah.
And so
it's actually there's a freedom. If you ever get to the point where you can get past that, and it is not easy. But there's such a freedom to not have that on your mind. I'm not sure if I've given up or if I've just let it go. I think I've just let it go because really my burning desire during the day is to connect with him. But it took me 58 years to get to that point, you know. Because, you know, you're raised as a little girl, you know, love and marriage and romance. And man, nobody's more romantic than I am, okay? I haven't had the chance to use too much of it, but nobody's more romantic than I am. And, you know, they fuss at me on Facebook. Oh, you know, you're looking sexy. Hello, do you read the Bible? Esther, Ruth, Job's daughter is the most beautiful in the whole region. Hello, we belong to God. We're his workmanship. We're women. We're supposed to be sexy. I didn't say obscene. I said sexy.
Right. There's a difference.
Because
there is.
I like to keep my clothes on. I can take a sexy picture with my clothes on. You know,
right.
Sexy is inside of you. It's not outside of you. And, you know, so we were raised to think, you know, if you don't get that relationship, something's wrong. But, you know, we're in a different culture now. Men's hearts have waxed gross. And I'm talking about men as in mankind's heart has waxed gross. And so it's not business as usual as far as romance. But the thing you need to know is that you've got to follow your gut. That's what it's there for. And when you ignore your gut because of what your head wants, that's when you get in trouble. And you get in trouble every time.
Right, right. And I know there's some younger people listening saying, no, I can't give up on this dream. We're not saying to give up on it, but we're saying
you're not giving up on it, but you really, you have to, oh, God, I just wish I could take all the lessons that I've learned and just jam it into people to say, because when you're, by the time you're 58, you know, I'm 58 today, I can look back and say, my God, obedience is so much better than all of this other stuff, because, hello, you're not with the guy now. You know, the guy you had to have, the one you were going to die without? He's gone. Now, I'll tell you what I discovered. I discovered that the euphoria that you feel for a man is not actually the responsibility of the man. It's when you open yourself up and allow yourself to love somebody, when that love comes up out of you, that is what makes you feel euphoric. It's like a euphoric fountain that's spewing forth. It has nothing to do with the guy. Because you felt that way for every guy that you ever met, you felt that same euphoria. And none of them really proved that to be all that justified in your feelings. There's something about when we open ourselves up, the flow of love that comes up out of us is addicting. It's not the guy. The guy didn't do anything to cause that euphoria to happen. And I'll prove it to you. As soon as he does something against you, like you catch him cheating or whatever it is, boop, the euphoria leaves.
You know, that's interesting. I had not thought of it that way. So it's when we open ourselves up to love,
there's a
that
chemical
love is
thing
the
that
flow
takes
out of us.
Yeah, it's the pheromones or whatever they call them. There's an actual chemical, you know, exchange that takes place, but it's only to do with you and your body and your mind and your thoughts. And it's you, sweetie. It's not him. I hate to tell you.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I guess that's why the word says for husbands to love their wives and women are to honor and respect their husbands, because, you know, when that moment comes and all of a sudden the shine is gone, we still have to honor and
the
respect.
The shine is gone. You still have to love them. So that's why you have to learn what is love, then. What is it? Is it
right.
just, oh, I want to feel safe and happy and, you know, is that what it is? Or is it you are so concerned about this person's love? See, because now that's what it's about for me. If I can't love you because I want to make you happy and take care of you and I want to see a smile on your face. I want to know that you feel good. I want to know that I'm part of what's making you feel good. Instead of, oh, does he make me feel good? Does he give me what I want? This is not about you, darling. As a matter of fact, if it's Christ in it, it's about everybody but you. You know?
I always
and
say
in
that
the
marriage
end,
is a ministry.
Back. Huh?
I always say that marriage is a ministry, and it really is about the other person when you go into it.
Yeah. Yeah, you really, I mean, if your heart is not to see that person feel as good as they can feel and be as happy as they can be and be as gratified and satisfied as you can possibly make them, then you're really not you know, qualified for marriage, because it's not, it is not about you. It is about the other person.
Right.
And of course, if you minister that way to the other person, you're going to get ministered to.
Right. 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 Wow.
And there's another thing that the younger people need to know. God will always, if you have to ask. Do not be questionless in your Christianity. You have to ask. He will never let you, I tell you the truth, he will not let you go wrong if you ask.
Ask and be willing to hear. Listen.
Yeah, you have to listen, and you have to immediately obey. Not just obey, immediately obey.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime I got into trouble, it was because I didn't immediately obey him.
Wow.
You know, and they think,
yeah.
Oh, obedience, that's a bad word. No, pain, that's a bad word.
Pain is a bad word. It is a very bad word. And I know I want to do a show dedicated to the issue of singleness and doing singleness correctly as men and women for the Lord, because there's a lot of compromise that's happening out there, and it's only hurting us, because when God asks us to abstain from sex and different things, it's because
yeah.
he's trying to protect our hearts and protect our ability to minister for him effectively while we're here. And we are, you know, really hurting ourselves and hurting, limiting the work we could be doing for the kingdom of God.
I said to him one time,
uh-huh.
What's the big deal about sex? If two grown people want to have sex, what's the problem? This was right before I went to New York. Again, and he said to me, lust when it is conceived, the Bible says lust when it's conceived brings forth sin, and sin when it's finished brings forth death. And I said, well, you know, come on, sex. I mean, it's mutual adult sex. There's no death in it. I mean, there might be venereal disease. Okay, abortion, somebody might kill their fetus if they don't want to have a baby. That I can see death. But what if I don't get pregnant? He said there's something coming on the horizon that will kill you. It will kill you. It's new. It's unprecedented. Nobody ever heard of it before. That was in 1980. And in 1980, when I stepped into New York City, my friends started dropping from AIDS. Nobody knew what it was. It was a mystery disease. All they knew it was sexually translated. And I had already made up my mind back in Detroit when the Lord told me that there was something deadly on the horizon, that I was going to follow him to the letter, even though I didn't understand it. I didn't agree.
Mm.
And now I'm alive.
Wow.
It's not to forbid you. It is to protect you.
Absolutely.
He's a father. The father does not tell you things to make you mad and make you angry and make you hate him. Your father tells you things to protect you. That's what is on his mind at all times. So if any time God says something to you that doesn't sound just like something you want to hear, know that he's a father. Know that Yeshua is your big brother. Know that the Holy Ghost is your teacher. They're all three. The Trinity is all three of them for you. God is one God, and he's for you. Everybody's purpose is the same. The Holy Spirit's purpose in you is the same as Yeshua's purpose was on the cross, same as the Father's purpose on the throne, and that is to love you into perfection.
Well, you know, our time is going so quickly, and you've got so much wisdom. I'm sure I'm going to be asking you to come back and join us at some point in the future. We started off talking about modeling, and I wanted to end on beauty, because for those of you who've seen the pictures that I posted on Facebook, I want you to understand that every strand of hair that you saw in those photos belonged to Wanaki, every one of them. And I know that
I got it cut today. You're going to be mad.
But still, you know, that's the woman's hair is her glory. And you mentioned talking about, you know, keeping your clothes and your hair and you keep yourself looking well, even though you're out living in the middle of the Midwest somewhere with cows and, you know, haystacks.
Right.
But talk to the listeners, men and women alike, about what real beauty is. If you had a parting word, what would you say?
My definition of real beauty is to see Jesus in anybody. I don't care who it is. I don't care what that person looks like. If I can see him in them, to me, that's just gorgeous. The most beautiful part of our body, in his opinion, is the bottom of our feet, because they're walking towards some place to set somebody free of something. You know, it's that invisible oozing, as you put it the other day. You said you just ooze. Yes, that oozing of something beyond what you can see. That's what's beautiful.
I love that. And while you were in the modeling industry, did you have the opportunity to share the gospel with other models?
Oh, sure, absolutely. You know, my thing is not to share the gospel so much as it is build relationships with people and let them know that you care about them. So that by the time you do talk about anything, like I said, cake recipes, you know, or eternal salvation, they're willing to listen to you because they know you love them. Not based on that, not based on their cooperation about what you have to say about the gospel, not about that, but that the gospel just directs us to love, and that's what you should be doing, period.
Amen. Well, thank you so much for sharing with us. I even remember when Carol Alt made her profession of faith. You know, I was paying attention because I was saying, you know, this is something I wanted to do, and I was trying to gain my ammunition of saying, you know, well, look at this believer. But, you know, what you said at the beginning of the show is most important. You have to hear what the Lord is saying to you and follow that. And sometimes it's going to look dry, but you have to stay the course if you have heard his mind. Even this radio show, it came from the Lord. You know, you complimented the title at the beginning. It came from the Lord. He said, do it. And I took what little I had to put it forth. And he's the one who's growing it. I can't believe here I am talking to you, someone who I looked at the cover of magazines when I was, you know, 16, 18 years old. And now we're sisters in the Lord together, and we can share with one another. It's precious.
There you go. Yeah.
Can you tell people where they can get more of you and get more of your art and what you're doing now?
Well, I have a website, wannakeepyou.com. That's my art website, but I think I'm going to turn it into a general Wanna Keep You website, you know, with videos and et cetera. And I have a YouTube station, which I'm working on some ministry videos right now, which are going to be a little bit different. They're not going to be, you know, your mama's church Bible lesson. It's going to be just real life, real conversations that I've had with Christ and real answers, and never stray from the Word of God. Always base everything that he says to you on the Word. That's how you know that it's him and not somebody else. That's critical. And the more of his Word you know, the more you're able to communicate with him effectively, you know. But it's all good. It's all good. I want everybody on this planet to know how good he is and to be able to look at him one day and say, oh, my God, I'm so glad I made it here. You know, I just want that for everybody.
That is the goal. That is the mission. That is why we're here. That is why I'm doing this show. And if you liked what you heard tonight, go ahead and find me on Facebook under Don't Give Up Radio. And you can also find me on Twitter as Jackie Wayne. I'd love to know what you thought about tonight and share your opinions. Until next week, I want you to be your own best hero, because the greatest hero of all gave his life for you. So don't let yourself down. I'm going to go out on this one instrumental by Lincoln Brewster called Here I Am to Worship. It is wonderful to see just how instruments by itself can get you to worship the Lord. Thank you again, Wanaki.
Thank you.